Hey, what's going on? This is Ego and Vice, episode 51.
You've got a real attitude problem, McFly. You're a slacker.
Hey, what's going on? This is episode 51 of Ego and Vice. I had my 50th episode last week, and it was a milestone for me because, like, when I started this podcast, I thought it was going to be just kind of like a goof. Like, hey, I'll start a podcast, and I'll talk about local bands, and I'll play my friends' bands, and then I would lose interest. But a year and a half later, I'm still at it, and this is episode 51, and I have the coolest cat in the land.
I don't know.
Yes.
I don't have 50 podcasts underneath my belt.
So. Right. On the podcast tonight, and her name is Chelsea Miller. You know her, you love her. And she's also like a radio DJ. So my little shitty setup, I was like, please don't judge me for what I have. What's up, Chelsea?
Not much. I'm not judging at all. I think it's fantastic.
Yeah.
It looks great. And it does the job.
I'm just trying. I've literally kind of worked my way through like the pod. Like when I started, I showed you the rock band mic.
Yes.
And then I slowly started like buying different gear and stuff like that. And just try to make it a little bit more maybe comfortable for you to come in and be like, there's a cheese grater attached to this microphone. What is this bullshit?
I think, though, the one thing, like, I love it when people sit there and they say that they're going to do something and then they do it. It's a huge thing for me. So you saying that you wanted a podcast, even if it started with a rock mic and a cheese grater, you've now upped
and
everything.
And hockey tape.
Don't forget the hockey tape. Right. Yep. You've now upped it to these beautiful mics. We have headphones and we have like boards and like systems and like it's great. So
I know we can hear each other.
Yeah.
There's like little lights flashing. I don't know what they mean,
but it's
like some sort of level.
It looks fancy.
As long as it doesn't hit the red, I know that things ain't crackling.
That's right.
Yeah.
So it's good.
So thank you for coming out. I think we talked about this, I don't know, a couple weeks ago. Mm-hmm. I said, you won't come out.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you came out.
And, man.
So what's going on in the world of the Miller?
The world of the Miller, it's not really that exciting, I guess.
Okay.
Yeah. So that's the end of the podcast. No.
Yeah, that's it. Wah, wah.
Yeah. No, nothing.
Was a bust.
Yeah. I work at a great radio station. So I do that during the day. And because I don't like to have downtime, because my brain runs too much, I actually bartend as well. So I'm pretty busy. And then I try to work out because I feel like life is all about balance and I enjoy alcohol. So
as long as I've ever known you, you've always worked for 88.5.
Mm-hmm.
But you've always had like a side gig.
Always.
Like a side hustle.
Yeah.
I remember you used to work at the Black Dog in Manotick.
Yep.
And we've seen you a few times at the Whale's Bone.
Yes.
Which is delicious.
Yes.
If you ever want some oysters.
Exactly.
Go to the Whale's Bone and slurp some of them down. And Chelsea will bring them to you with a smile.
I will.
Because
as long as I like you.
Yeah, that's because that's what she does. So as far as radio, like how'd you get into radio?
So funny, I got into radio while I was bartending. So I was working in Osgood and I was working in Osgood at the Red Dot and I had a full wood of people and I was just shooting my mouth off and being me and I guess people would say entertaining. And I, at that point in time, I wasn't really sure if I wanted to be a career bartender. Mm. Like I thought, I'm going to get a big girl job, but I'm not really sure what that big girl job is going to be. So I was going to school. Like I took my bartending course before I bartended because I started when I was young. So I took the bartending course. So I did that in college. And I thought, I'm going to get into hotel restaurant management because I've always wanted to own a restaurant. So I'm like, I'll do that. And after my first year of that, I moved to Ireland and I started working in Ireland I was the assistant manager of a 4-star hotel.
Wow.
Yeah. So I did that. And then I came back from that and went, I don't need to go to school. I just learned everything. So I don't need to give you my money.
Algonquin. I'm learnt.
That's right.
With a T.
I'm learnt with a T. And So I started working at the Red Dot after that. And I did that for a couple of years. And then one of my regulars said to me, dude, you should really get into radio. Like, you have a really great radio voice.
Yep.
And if you ask my brother, he says, I have a face for radio. So I thought, okay, well, I'll try. So I did radio.
Son of a bitch.
I know. He made me a shirt and everything. So I went to college. It took me 3 tries to get into it. And I was like 25 at the time.
Oh, wow. So this wasn't like a set path after high school. Like, I'm going to college to go into radio and broadcasting.
No, when I got out of high school, I went and moved to Florida and worked at Disney World for a year.
Were you? Did you have the Minnie Mouse hat on? Or
no,
I worked the big head.
No, I worked at Epcot. I was a food and beverage hostess in Epcot, and I was at the Canadian Pavilion. So they actually dressed me to think that I looked like, for some reason, at the Canadian Pavilion. If you ever go to Epcot, everybody who's on the promenade dressed like lumberjacks, because that's apparently what everybody thinks Canadians dress like.
Well,
and then inside, and then inside the restaurant, if you were working inside, then you dressed like Strawberry Shortcake.
Okay, that's cool. I like her, but yeah, Canadians, lots of plaid.
Lots of plaid.
Some boots.
Yes.
With the fur on the top.
Yeah, like literally you were wearing like Timberlands, you were wearing like khaki shorts, and you were wearing plaid on the top.
The hat with the ear flaps you can tie on top.
Yes.
Yeah.
So that was out on the promenade. Inside, we had to wear bonnets and like this terrible outfit. So I did that right out of high school. So yeah, it wasn't like I was, honestly, when I was going through high school, all I wanted to do was open up a bar. That was it. And then... ended up working in bars, and then I came back and I like ran a fast food restaurant, Licks, where you had to sing and make your stuff.
Oh, I love that place. There used to be one up on Bank Street
here.
Yeah,
that's the one I worked at.
Now it's like an enterprise car rental or something. Like, what the fuck is going on?
There are definitely days when I'm hungover where all I want is like
a Licks burger.
Yes, like all the time.
I remember it was like fries, 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 fries. Yeah. Gonna make some fries or something.
Yeah, like the hot dog song, like hot diggity, dog diggity, oh, what you? And you had to sing that the whole time.
And even though it's just like, you just give me my fucking burger. Like, even though you guys were having like a good time, it's like, like everyone else felt awkward. Yeah. Like, oh God.
They're like, singing. Oh my God, I can't believe they have to sing.
Yeah.
So yeah. So anyway, so it took me a couple tries to get into the program because I'd been out of school for so long and you have to write like this exam, like an entry test. And it was just, there was math and English. And I was like, can I just like talk on
Fuck
the radio?
That shit,
yeah,
man.
Exactly. So by the time I got into it, I was 25. And as soon as I got the letter saying that I had gotten into the program for the fall, I got it in February. I went to Shea and I said to Shea that I wanted to.
Is
work
that where you got
them.
Your start? Shea?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Cool, man. That's
so I
cool.
And I was doing promo. So I was on the promotions team. I wasn't getting paid. I got paid in like t-shirts and like concert tickets. I got to drive the trucks around.
We got paid in t-shirts.
Yeah. Like, that
was another
15,
Shea t-shirt.
Yeah, that was
Thanks
like
for coming
15
out.
Years ago. Now, if you are in radio school and you want to get your foot in the door, you can get paid. Like, you get paid minimum. Like, it's a good part-time gig if that's what you want to do, to be like on the street team and stuff.
Yeah.
So then I got my start at Shea and I ended up telling the right people what I wanted to do and telling the right people that I wanted to be on air.
Okay.
So when an opportunity came up, I ended up doing 2 days a week on the morning show with Doc and Woody.
Oh,
and I would get them like their photocopies and their coffee and their pencils, and I would sit there and they ended up calling me the intern from hell.
Hey, you gotta pay your dues, right?
Yeah.
So, absolutely.
I've been doing radio for 15 years now, 13 paid.
Yeah. Well.
And the first 5, it was like I wasn't getting paid because I got paid shit.
Yeah, but you probably learned a lot from those early days, right?
Oh, for sure.
Which set you on the path of the DJ you are now.
That's
you
right.
are now.
Right? Yeah. Well, I was in. So how it works is the first 2 years of radio. So the first 2 semesters, you do like a lot of like practical stuff. And then the last 2 semesters, if you get a job, a paying job in your 4th semester, you don't have to go to school.
Okay.
So you just literally go and do your job and then you have to write a paper and then you graduate. And that was it. So I had a job starting 2nd year. Shea had given me an opportunity. I was getting paid over the summer to do on-air stuff. And then I ended up getting a job in Cornwall. So I was driving to Cornwall, living in Russell, working in Osgood and going to school in Nepean.
Okay.
Yeah.
So yeah, lots of miles, eh?
Yeah. But that lasted 3 months and then Live came after me and then
yeah. So
paid.
Ireland,
mm-hmm.
Florida,
mm-hmm.
Cornwall.
That's right.
And where else you've been in your life? Like, you've lived, like, not even like visiting, but you've lived in these places.
Lived in Florida, lived in Ireland.
What did you, like, when you went to Florida, you just said, I'm moving to America, fuck it.
So I told my mom after graduation of high school that I wasn't going to work. And she's like, what? I'm like, I'm just going to hang out. Like, I'm from Russell. So what we did was we hung out in Russell in this parking lot.
That's awesome.
We skateboarded. We played hacky sack. We did drugs. And that was pretty much it.
What else is there to do, really?
In Russell. Exactly.
Or in Ottawa as
yeah.
well.
Yeah. So I had said to my mom, I'm not going anywhere. I'm not working. And she's like, yeah, yeah. I'm like, I'm good. So I'm just going to hang out. And I came home one day and I had green hair, I think, at the time. And I came home and mom's like, there's something on the table for you. And I look and it's this huge like pamphlet with like Walt Disney on the front.
Oh, shit.
And I'm like, what is this? She's like, go get a dress on. We're going to your aunt's. My aunt's a hairdresser. We're going to fix your hair so it's not green. And we're driving to Toronto for this interview. I'm like, for what? She's like, you're going to go work at Disney. I'm like, no, I'm not. She's like, yeah, yeah. I'm like, yeah, okay.
And yeah, you did.
And yeah, I did. So
you got the job, I guess.
Yeah, out of 300 applicants, I was one of 30 who was picked to go down to Disney and work. So I went down there. I was the youngest person. I was only 18.
Would you chalk that up as a good experience in your life? Dude, do you look back fondly on the Disney days?
Yes. Like, yeah? I look back, like, I don't... Well, people were going to college and like doing their college things. And, you know, like I lived like my university life. That's what we did there because we lived in one complex with people from all over the world.
Okay.
Like I lived with two girls from France, one from England, one from Scotland, and one from Norway. And we lived in a 3-bedroom apartment.
It's a small world after all.
I can't ever go on that ride again because I hope my mom doesn't listen to this, but she probably will anyway. I was so high. Like, that's where, like, raving was in. Like, the only reason why people at Disney are so happy because they're high as fuck.
Oh, sure, yeah.
It's the happiest place on earth because everybody's on opiates.
Look at that fucking mouse.
Yeah, exactly.
That giant mouse.
Yes.
Swinging and, like, your glow sticks
it's
around.
It's also very sad because you grow up, like, I'm definitely a Disney kid who grew up in that era. And, you know, like, Sunday nights, you'd watch the Disney on, like, on CBC and all the Disney movies and stuff. And you go to Disney and you have to find out all the inner workings of it. It's fucking depressing.
Was it awful? Yeah.
Dude, like, I know all these secrets that I didn't want to know. Like, the cookie smell from Main Street, it doesn't come from real cookies. It comes from a box underneath fucking, the tunnels at Magic Kingdom.
Wow.
Like, it's depressing.
It's like some cookie-flavored Febreze that gets pumped into the general population.
I'm a huge fan of Alice in Wonderland, and I was walking in the tunnels under Magic Kingdom, and all of a sudden I'm like, oh my God, there's the Queen of Hearts, and she turned around, and it was a dude. And I was like, no!
This is bullshit.
This is bullshit!
I've been lied to my whole life!
I'm like, Tinkerbell, you're not really flying through the air, you're a motherfucking light? Yeah. Like, come on!
I see the wire, man. I see the wires.
But in all that, in all of the craziness of knowing all the secrets, it was like, it's been 20 years that I worked there, more than that, and I still talk to people who I worked with from then.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
And they're still in America?
No, like, we were all Canadians who went down there.
Oh, that went down, because you're one of 30, so yeah. 30 people actually went down and did the job.
And,
so.
Like, some people, like, and we would, you could stay there for a year and a half. They got your visa, they did everything. Mm. You could stay there for a year and a half, then you had to come back to your respective country for 6 months, and then you could go back and work there again.
Do you guys ever go for beers and be like, remember Disney?
Dude, we have reunions, like, every couple of years.
Remember that time I kicked fucking Goofy in the balls?
Oh, they're like, remember that time, Miller, that you did this, and they called me Trucker back then?
Trucker.
So when I first got on the air at Live was right when like MySpace was on the way out and okay. Facebook was just kind of starting to come in.
Oh, MySpace was the shit at the time.
Dude,
though. Remember?
The shit. Yes.
Yeah, it was like.
So when that whole transition happened and Facebook started to be what Facebook was, that's when all of a sudden you started to find all these people initially before Facebook turned into what it is now. That's really what I believe it was for, is reconnecting with these people that you weren't able to before, right? Before it got like nasty.
Yes. And it was so fun. It was just like, oh my God.
I know.
That person.
Exactly.
And so you're like, hey, what's up? And you've never talked to them since.
No. Yeah. They're just one of your friends. But like initially, so all of the guys that I worked with down in Florida had figured out that I was now doing this radio show.
Yeah.
So I was having all these people listen from like Southern Ontario where they lived or wherever. So that was a really cool thing. But yeah, so I've lived in those places and just traveled to a lot more places. Mm-hmm. I have regrets about Ireland. I should have stayed.
How long were you there for?
I was there for like 4 or 5 months. I came home for a boy, which is a bad idea.
Hey, life happens, you know?
You make these weird decisions, but...
Every bad decision you've made in your life, maybe good ones too, always revolve around, and myself, girlfriends, boyfriends, yeah. You know, you matters of the heart. They're fucking unpredictable.
And as a hopeless romantic, you simply just follow those all the time.
Yeah, it's like, this time.
Yeah, this time is going to be it, I swear. Yeah. But yeah, I wish I would have stayed over there just because it's so hard to get over... Just to Europe in general, right? Just to be able to, because I was going to travel and I just didn't do that as much, but.
I've never been to Europe. Okay. I'd love to go to Europe. Mm. There's so many places I want to see. I really, really want to go to Japan because I'm Japanese, motherfucker.
Right. Yeah.
But my dad, when I was a kid, he always used to say, we're going to go to Disney World. We're going to go.
Yeah.
And year after year, and I just got older and older to the point where I was just like, I don't want to go to fucking Disney World. But. He always promised at me, dangled it even in my face, like, you know, like the horse running for the carrot.
Yeah.
Never went. Fucking jerk.
What a dink.
That's the reason. That's half the reason me and my dad don't get along, because I didn't go to fucking Disney World.
Well, there's promises.
I didn't kick Goofy in the balls.
Right.
And I never rode Space Mountain.
See? You could still go now, though.
Yeah.
If you wanted to.
Yeah, I don't care.
I feel like it has this weird, like, I know that when a friend of mine got married, and she was like in her mid-20s, and that was what her honeymoon was.
Oh, you know,
and I feel like it's a big thing now. Like those things that you miss out as a kid, like you never really grow out of those.
I guess.
Then you have the money to spend there because it ain't cheap.
Well, the thing is with me is like I never really cared for. Like, I remember like on Sunday nights because we're kind of the same age where it was like the Magical World of Disney at 6 o'clock on channel whatever, and I was like, yay, and there'd be like whatever some cartoon or something.
Yeah,
but it's like. I look back at it now and it's like, I don't give a shit about Walt Disney. I don't give a shit about it. But Jay Watts and Murray, his wife, she loves.
Yeah, didn't they go?
The Disney.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And they go like all the time. They go to Disney World because that's her jam. That's her shit. That's what she does. You go into their house and there's like Mickey Mouse all over the place. I want to like smack it off the shelf, but I'm like, hey, man, this ain't my house.
It's like if you go into my house is just covered in giraffes. So
okay.
That's the thing.
Well, that's cool.
Yeah.
And Eddie Vedder busts.
Right. Yeah. And the Pearl Jam everywhere. No, it's not that bad, though.
No, it's okay.
Yeah.
All right. That was a good good opening segment. I really have to pee, so we're gonna take a break, and we're going to come back with Miller.
Miller.
What's up, yo?
Yo.
This is episode 51, Ego and Vice. So Live 88.5 came a calling.
Yeah.
And what?
Yeah. So it's funny because radio is a very small little community, as much as everybody thinks that it's huge because it is like coast to coast or whatever, but it is very small. So I had heard that because I was going to school with somebody who was already working on Hot 89.9. And we had heard that there was going to be this new rad radio station that was coming into town. So he got me the information that I needed to send off my stuff. So I was sitting at Shea doing overnights and like literally just like killing myself. And I would record every one of my shows. I would edit them down and I would send them off mm-hmm. to this guy, mm-hmm. Neil, who happened to be who was our first program director. So one day Rob is in Neil's car because they had gotten the space, which was at CTV, and they were starting to work on this radio station. So they're starting to build up who they want to be on the air. Yeah. So I was at school, and Rob's like, dude, come in here. And he called me into like one of the studios. I'm like, what? He's like, so I was just in Neil Mann's car. I'm like, okay. He's like, I saw your demo on his back seat. I'm like, really? He's like, yeah. He's like, I think you're going to get a call. I'm like, no way. So I had to take off to go to Cornwall. So yeah, so Neil ended up giving me a shot, and I ended up having three meetings with the guys at Live. So I had a meeting with Neil twice, and then I had a meeting with he used to be my GM, he's now moved up in the company, but he mm-hmm. was my GM for like 8 years, and he said to me that I could read the phone book and it would still sound interesting.
Oh, damn.
I was like,
that's
okay.
Like with singers, like you could sing the phone book.
Yeah, I was
that's
like,
awesome, dude.
All right, yeah, and then... So then we started on December. It was like Boxing Day that we launched. And then I was there doing evenings for 8 years. And then I left for 2 years to go do a morning show in Halifax with the same company. They just needed some help out there. And then I just came back and now I do middays.
Cool. Mm-hmm. So how long have you been with 88.5 like in total? It's got to be...
So it's 13 years.
13 years. You said that earlier. I apologize. Yeah.
If you take the 2 years out that I went to Halifax, like mm-hmm. I've been with NewCap for 13. I've been on... Live for 11.
Right. And when did we meet? It must have been early on in the 88.5 days. I remember the I don't know if it was the Big Money Shot, like when it used to be held at Capitol Music Hall.
Yeah. So, well, because was Our Mistake in the Big Money Shot or not?
No, we couldn't because Brian Ruxtel worked and it was like this weird conflict of interest.
Okay.
We were like the only band in Ottawa that couldn't enter that prick.
Right. So, yeah, no, we met. So I think we met probably like it was probably like in the second year that we were a radio station because I started dating Eric and you guys were jamming in the basement.
Yeah. No, you know what I remember? This is what I remember. We were at Capitol Music Hall and I was there with Brian just doing sound or like I wasn't doing sound. Yeah. But he was doing sound. And I remember we went down to the thing and we put the beer bottle upside down.
Right.
Remember? And there was the big crowd.
Oh yeah,
and
yeah,
we were like laying bets, like who's gonna knock the beer button? And it's like there was times where it was just like we were sitting there like all anticipating, like
yeah.
Oh
yeah.
We took an empty beer bottle, put it upside down on like the mouth of the beer bottle, and we put it right in the crowd. And then people
and
were walking around, and we saw people like almost get it. It's like oh shit! And then it finally got knocked down. And we were like yeah, I remember that. That was like the first time my first memories of like us hanging out.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And then I remember us hanging out. Well, I also remember when I found out what your real name was and not like your band name.
Oh, the Ohio Jones. Yeah. I've since retired Ohio Jones, eh?
Have
like
you?
Yeah, I've done it. I've retired it.
But I remember I'm like, man, his mom was so cool. That's a rad, wicked
rad.
Name.
Yeah.
And Eric's like, dude, that's not his real name. I'm like, what?
Yeah. His
it was
name's
like a, yeah.
His name's Michael.
His name's Michael.
Yeah.
Like, what the dick?
Fuck, I wish. Yeah. I've actually looked into changing my name like through the government, mm-hmm. and it's $137.
Okay.
And all you have to do is like fill out a form online, submit it, and then it'll come back and you can actually change your name. I may change my name to Ohio Tiberius Jones,
right.
But I have to wait till my dad dies because I don't want him to know.
Don't be upset. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Well,
because I don't want the Mitanni lineage to die.
Okay. So if you're doing this, you know how like, so a friend of mine just did this.
Mm-hmm.
Her name's Gina.
Ah,
Gina. She hates her name Gina, so she's now changed it to Luna.
Gina Luna, okay.
Okay, so she said, this was like a couple of weeks ago, she works at the restaurant with me, and she's like, Chelsea, my name's not Gina anymore. And I'm like, what? She's like, it's Luna. And I'm like, why? And she's like, I've always hated Gina, but my name's Luna now. I'm like, can we have a little bit of a grace period where I hyphenate it, where I go like, Gina Luna,
Gina Luna,
Gina Luna, Gina Luna, Luna. And then all of a sudden I just drop the Gina and I'm with the Luna.
Until you get used to it.
Because I'm so close, right? It's like, and I don't want to compare this, I don't want this to sound terrible, but you know, like if you adopt a pet and their name is like Steve, but you don't want their name to be Steve, you want it to be like Greg.
Yeah.
So like you have to like change it so you hyphenate. You're like Steve Greg, and they just go, bye Steve, your name's Greg.
When I adopted my cat, his name was Derby.
See? And what'd you do?
His name's Bubs now.
And is he used to, did you do like some sort of special training for him to know that it's Bubs?
No,
or
I said, I looked him straight in the face and I said, you're Bubs now, fucking Derby.
Well, we had a dog whose name was Shelly.
Oh.
And so, but we switched her name to Patches. Because
that's
like,
completely
I don't want to be like out the door like, hey, Shelly, come on in. And then Shelly's walking by, you know, it's like a scene from
it's like a bunch
like
of kids
baked.
In the neighborhoods come up into the porch. What?
Yeah, it's like half baked, you know, and he's feeding the horse and he's like, oh, you're hungry, girl. And this girl walks by and she's like, fuck you. Like, it gets all mad.
Shelly's a terrible name for a dog. What kind of dog was it?
It was a beautiful, it was a collie.
Okay, yeah.
Oh.
Like a lassie.
Yeah, or like the other one, the ones like the sheepdog ones. So it's a breed of a collie.
Okay.
She runs and would run and run. Like, you couldn't run her enough.
She really needed
to be on a farm and not living in, like, downtown Russell, but it's fine.
Cool.
She used to pull me around all the time on rollerblades, and she partied with us when I had house parties that I wasn't supposed to.
Yeah,
so.
There's nothing like strapping a tight fucking collar around your dog's neck and having them pull you on rollerblades. I'm sure she had a wonderful time.
I was working. I was like, you know, taking strides, but she would really make me go a lot faster.
That whole time, that dog was just trying to escape that moment. Yeah. She's like, I'll just keep running fast because eventually.
She would have like taken off her own collar and run free.
Yeah, gone. Mm. So when you started at 88.5, how was that? Like, did you immediately get on air? Like, were you,
Yeah.
Like you, and you've always done. So maybe the evening or the morning?
Yeah, so I started doing evenings. So I was doing, we first started doing evenings from 7 to midnight, and then we switched that and we went from 6 to 11.
Mm-hmm.
So the first 3 years were super rough.
Did you fall into it very naturally, like behind the microphone and stuff like that? Or
no.
Was it scary?
It was scary. Oh. I also started at Shea, too. So I was doing overnights at Shea.
Okay.
And my program director over there, he would tell me that the easiest way for you to get comfortable was to bring something that was comfortable for you from home. Like if you had a stuffed toy or if you had like a blankie or whatever. Like I was in my 20s, I didn't have a fucking blankie, but I did have a picture of my best friends.
Did you bring Shelly?
No, I didn't. I wish. No, yeah, so I had a picture of my best friends that I had framed that I would bring it with me to work. Because the problem is you have to get, when you're alone, it's one thing when you're doing a show with somebody else because you can crack like a ridiculous joke and you'll either have a reaction or you won't.
It's very easy to feed off each other.
Of course.
Yeah.
Right? So, and I'm a very people person. So you're sitting there alone and the only thing you're talking to is your windsock.
Right.
So you have to somehow figure out a way to be okay with laughing at yourself on the assumption that the person who's listening on the other side of the radio is also laughing with you. You just can't see them.
You hope they are. Anyway.
You hope, like, you know?
Who the fuck is this person?
Like, what the fuck is she on? So it didn't come naturally. And I was told very early on in my career by a seasoned vet that even after he had been doing it for the eons that he had been doing it, he still didn't feel good.
Okay.
He still didn't feel like he was good at his job. And he said the first day that he ever felt that he was good at his job would probably be the day that he would leave.
Okay.
Because you have to keep challenging yourself.
Yeah.
Like I definitely have days where I have great breaks and I definitely have days where I'm like, turn the mic off and I'm like, holy fuck. Like
tanked
that was
it.
The worst. Like,
I have no radio experience at all. Like I said, I started this podcast as a goof. I love when people are on, and that's why I always have people on, because we can talk and we can feed off each other. But sometimes, like, a guest will, you know, back out, or I just don't have anybody lined up, so I'll do, like, a solo podcast. Mm-hmm. And, like, a normal podcast like ours is going to be probably about an hour and a bit.
Right.
But I'll do, like, a solo podcast, and they're around 32 minutes, because I'm just, like, I get in there, I'm like, hey, what's going on? I'm by myself today. I'm going to talk about the weather. I'm going to talk about my bum's a little itchy. You know what I mean? Like, the whole
I made some chili tonight.
I made some chili. That's really good. And then around the, like, 24-minute mark, I'm just like,
Yeah.
So fucking cold out today. You know, you start talking about the weather to yourself and then I'm like, I'm done.
I will say that I think that I, when I, cause I didn't start in a group, like everybody wants to be, you always want to be on mornings or you want to be on drive. Cause that's when you're going to make the most money.
Okay.
And that's just because you're hitting the most amount of people that way. Right. Because like the drive show, you're getting people on the way home, the morning show, you're getting people on the way in. So when it comes to advertising, and unfortunately radio is all about advertising, so that's where you're going to make your cash.
Yeah, sure.
But, so when you get into a situation like that, you already have that ability to team, like you're building, you're bouncing it off like you and I are doing it right now. So sure. You never have to stand on your own 2 feet. Whereas I had to stand on my own 2 feet and be able to be my own announcer and find my own groove on my own. And then after 8 years, and I started like around my like fifth year mark, I was like, I really want to be on a morning show. I'm like, I want to do this. I want to be
with
somebody
else. That's prime radio, right?
Yeah, like, primo.
Yeah, for sure.
Or like a drive show, like either one.
Yeah.
So I pushed and pushed and we found a spot for me. And when I went out to Halifax, I got teamed up with this guy. His name is Colin Sweets. And the reason why our show was so good was because at the time I was a 35-year-old who thought that I was like 15. And he was a 25-year-old who thought he was 55. So the two of us had a very cool dynamic. Like he would be at home with his cats on a Friday and I'd be like, woo, like I'm out. Like peace out, you know.
Yep.
I'd come in drunk. He'd be like, I had one beer and I can't drink anymore. You know, things like that.
So
he taught me how to be a much better announcer because he is so skilled. He's very eloquent. He speaks really well. He's really smart.
Yeah.
He's like some people might call, like he's very introverted. He's awkward, but I would pull out those really cool things with him and he would help me pull out like
chemistry.
Parts of me. Yeah.
Chemistry.
It was amazing. Yeah. So like he's still in Halifax, but coming, doing that with him and then coming back and doing my own show, it helped me be a better one-man person show.
So landing the 88.5 gig, though, it's like that must have been like, if when it comes to like Ottawa radio, it's like that's a pretty, because 88.5 is like a really important radio station in Ottawa.
Yeah.
Like, and when you landed that gig and then you eventually said, I'm going to go to Halifax, like, was that a hard decision to be like, I'm going to leave where I kind of started and I'm going to go to, I love Halifax, though. It's my favorite city in Canada.
Yeah.
Well, that I've been to.
Right.
Yeah, because people are like super friendly and super awesome. And it's like if you stand on the side of the street in Ottawa, if you cross the street, you're going to get hit by a fucking bus. Last time I was in Halifax, I stood on the side of the street and literally people just stopped their cars and let me like walk across. No cross light or nothing. Just like, yeah.
Well, because they have rolling crosswalks there now too. So, and which we're trying to implement here. People don't know how to use them.
Yeah,
it was super hard. It was really, really scary.
How long did you take to make the decision? Like,
I didn't have very, so they had approached me in September.
Mm-hmm.
So I left in, I moved there in 2014. So they had approached me in August of 2013 and they had approached me and they wanted me to team up with this one guy. And so we did a couple mock shows and sent them off to head office, and head office decided that I would just get drowned out by this guy, that he was like just too big of a personality to share the mic.
Sure.
And we were just too big of personalities to go together and it was just going to be a waste of my talent. So I was like, okay, cool. Thank you for telling me I'm talented. But anyway, I was like, yeah, that's cool. So I just stay in Ottawa and like do my thing. And then that was 6 months later, they call me again and they're like, yeah, so Chelsea, you want to come to Halifax? I'm like, guys, remember you already asked me once and like I didn't work that time. So what's the difference this time?
Uh-huh.
So they had a different approach. This guy had left. He was going somewhere else. So I had within like days to decide.
Mm-hmm.
So I made the decision to go. It was within the company, so it was a very easy transition, and it was also sold to me as it being a mix of, it was like a live and Hot 899 hybrid.
Okay.
So it was going to be very focused on indie. It was going to be very focused on local, which of course, you know, Halifax has fucking like rad local music.
Sure.
And I was going to be helping them out in the morning show. So I was like, fucking right. Like, yeah, let's do this. So then I moved in 2 weeks. Like I literally
just like that.
Like done.
Fuck.
And I was gone. And our company's really great. Like they put us up. I lived in a hotel for a month, so that I could find a place, and my stuff was in storage. And then as soon as I had a place, my movers came and brought me my shit.
I can't believe that was 2014.
Mm-hmm.
Fuck, that was that's like 4 years ago, mm-hmm. 4.5 years ago.
Yeah, so I was there 2 years, literally to the day, when I got a call from Live that they needed me to come back.
How was your life in Halifax, though? Did you meet like some nice people? Did you enjoy the city?
It was,
or was it kind of like starting completely from scratch?
So I think if I would have moved there and I would not have been in radio, it would have been completely different. Mm. But because I was in radio and I was in like, I was in the limelight, I guess you want to say. I don't know. It's weird, but
yeah, big shot.
I'm a come from aware. So I'm technically taking somebody else's job that they could do on the radio.
Okay.
So we had this like a forum, like one of those stupid forums that people could write on and stuff. Yeah. And I was just getting like eaten alive by people on this forum.
Really?
Because
were they bitter?
Like, yeah.
You're nothing like fucking Jimmy.
Yeah. Oh, and they're like, why would you bring this person, this upper Canadian, because that's what they call us.
What the fuck?
Yeah. So why would you bring this upper Canadian here where she can't even pronounce the names of things? Like you... The wording that they have for things is ridiculous. Like when you say Shubenacadie, that's like near impossible.
Shubenacadie.
That's like Shubenacadie.
What is that?
It's a little town stuff.
Hey, no offense. Fuck that town.
Yeah. Or like, you know, like St. Croix is how we would say it here because it's spelled like that. And we're also like, we look at things more of maybe a bilingual side of it.
Sure.
Well, there it's like St. Croix.
Croix.
Yeah. Okay. You can't say scallops. You have to say scallops, can't say scallops. Or they're like, my boss came in and was like, if you say scallops like that one more time, I might like fire you. And I was like, are you kidding me?
It's East Coast and the seafood.
Though. Exactly.
You gotta bend a little.
Yeah. So yeah. I ended up having a friend there already who had moved from Bowmanville years ago. And I messaged him to say I was coming. And he was like, sweet. So he got me in on his baseball team, which was like 3-pitch. Nah. So I met all these people my first friends were my baseball team. And it took a long time for some of them to even accept me on the team.
Wow.
Yeah. So they are very protective. This is what I say about people from the East Coast, especially from Nova Scotia, they are very proud of their exports. If you are a good hockey player, if you are, you know, like an amazing musician, a murderer, they're super stoked with you. Like,
Not so much their imports.
No, not so happy with their imports that come in.
Fuck.
And a lot of people say that to me too. Like, I love Halifax. Halifax is a beautiful city. But I always say to people, so how long you been there for? Oh, man, I was there for 3 days and I was drunk. I'm like, well, yeah, because it has the most bars per capita in any city in Canada. And they're fucking great. And I lived 33 steps from the Strip. So, like, I was, like, in the middle of downtown and I loved it.
Yeah.
And I love all
Citadel
of my,
Hill?
Yeah. Yep. I would run around it. Like, I worked out a lot when I was there because I couldn't get a second job when I was there for a while. And, of course, I was transitioning. I was kind of broke. And I was apartment broke, to be honest. So I was living in this sweet apartment, but I'm like, I can't afford to eat. So I'm like,
you're trying to find a server job?
Yeah. But I couldn't get one because my hours were 4 a.m. to 10.
Oh, okay.
So, and I know what it's like to be a server. And if I'm coming in and I want the money shifts on Friday and Saturday, I'm at the lowest of the totem pole.
Oh, like, Jesus. You wouldn't sleep.
In.
Yeah.
No, exactly.
Fucking up till 3 a.m.
Yeah.
And then
I ended up picking up a different job, which I ended up painting apartments, flipping apartments.
Yeah. Hey, this is just me.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Well, we talked off mic before about how we both don't sleep. So
yeah, I don't sleep. Okay, I sleep like 4 hours a night. That's good.
Would
I'm good
go
with
back
that.
To Halifax again, though, for a visit? Absolutely. Do I miss all my friends there? For sure.
But because, and this kind of circles back to the whole, the Facebook, you're still in touch.
Yep.
Okay, cool.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So when 88.5, and I didn't know, I thought you just decided to come back and you know, they threw you a bone. Yeah, Chelsea's back in town. I guess we'll give her a job.
No.
Traitor.
They actually
sought you out. They said, come back to the station.
Yeah, there was things that were changing at the station. There was going to be people that were looking to move. And they were looking to make sure that we had a familiar voice in the station. And I had also had this really weird feeling that something was going to happen in Halifax. Mm. Like that they were going to be doing something with the station, which they had already kind of flipped formats 3 times while I was there, which is kind of unheard of. So I knew that something was up. So I was proactive, as I always am. And because I've... think too much.
I respect that.
Yeah. So I came home for Christmas and I talked to my boss and I was just like, hey, I feel like something might be going like on. If there's ever an opportunity to come home, I'd really like to.
Your 88.5 boss or your Halifax boss?
Yeah, my 88.5 boss.
Okay. Yep.
So I'd come home for Christmas and I always, anytime I would come home, I'd always make sure I saw him to see how things were going. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I just said to him, like, I just feel like something's up. I'm like, so if there's ever an opportunity to come back, I'd really like to have an opportunity to come back.
Okay.
Plus my dad had gotten sick, so my dad had gotten Parkinson's, so I was like, hey, it'd be nice to be able to be a little bit closer to home. Like,
yeah, for sure.
You know,
sure.
So he's like, yeah, I probably won't have anything for you for like another 8 months or something. I was like, cool, man. Like, I'm good. Like, I'm good to fucking
I'll
chill.
Write it out here, yeah, in the exactly. In the East Coast.
And maybe my gut is wrong, whatever. Anyway, he called me after 4 months and was like, things are changing a bit quicker than we thought. Can you come home?
Get your ass back here, yo.
Yeah, so that's what I did. So, yeah, so I moved home. Literally, it was like 2 years to the day that I had left.
Mm-hmm.
And I had come back. And, like, I really thank the company for, they took care of me and they always have taken care of me. And, you know, they made sure that they found the right fit for me when I was trying something new.
Mm-hmm.
And they knew that I was the right fit to come back. So they didn't have to do that. So I do really appreciate that.
Good experience, though?
Oh, my God. It was a great experience. And no one will ever take
regrets?
It away from me. No, no. Yeah. I might, like, there might be some regrets, but that it's with Tinder, and we don't need to talk about it. So
it's fine. Oh, Jesus Christ. You're preaching to the choir, yo. Fucking hell. All right, let's take a break. Let's play a local band. I don't even know what we're going to play, but we'll be right back with fucking Miller. Cool. This is Ego and Vice, episode 51.
Goodbye, Hawaii. We'll be back soon. Goodbye to all of those pretty girls kissing underneath the moon.
So we're coming off like an off-air conversation while getting your teeth knocked out. And Goat played a show last night at Mavericks.
Yes. Okay. Is the cuff still there? Sorry. I haven't been down to that in a while.
Yeah, it's still upstairs. I don't
Are
know if there's
still booking.
I think so. Okay. I see some of my friends like play to cuff. My relationship with Cafe to Cuff goes way back to the Brian Ruxtel days.
So that I and that's us too.
Yeah.
But the Live Lounge days, which we haven't talked about either.
Oh,
so,
I loved the Live
Me
Lounge.
Too.
Maybe not so much the I'd like the first place, and then I like the second place too. I think I did.
Yeah, the first place, remember, had the big pillars, so that was an issue.
Yeah, and it had the deer head with the antlers and shit.
Yeah, and then the second place was just the old strip club.
The old strip club. It was like fucking Playboys or Playmates.
But
or...
we still had the ability to go into the old Capitol Music Hall, the big one.
Yeah.
So it was nice.
Oh, yeah, through the back through the back way, and you came up through the balcony.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was rad. That was a cool little like hub for a lot of cool stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I had a show last night at Mavericks with my band Goat, and I went to Montreal on Saturday and saw my friend's band, and I got turnt and fucking just drank it up. And then we drove home at like 2 o'clock in the morning, and I woke up the next day on my buddy's like floor, and I drove home and I was like hurting. I was just like, God. So I figured, you know, it's show day. Awesome. Everything's going to be rad because I'm like a punk rock superstar. So I just started drinking at like 8:30 in the morning. And for some strange reason, I just kept drinking all day.
So if it was going to be a regular show day and you didn't go to Montreal the previous night and get turnt, would you have just slept and like started later, or is your regular pre-show routine? Because I know, like, before I go on stage to do like stage stuff, and if I'm at a bar, I am definitely having like a couple of drinks.
Oh, for sure, right? Normally, what I do on show days, especially if I'm off in the day, is I'll go to the gym.
Okay.
I'll work on my quads.
Right. You need to
work on my buttocks.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, I try to stay away from the booze because I'm a stickler for like the integrity of Goat. Even though we sing songs about like eating dicks and stuff like that, I still want to play well.
Right.
You know, and I try and steal the show. And for some reason that day, it was just, I was in a really good mood. Once I started having a few beers, that my hangover was gone, and I started like vacuuming my place, and I just was nursing the beers. Little did I know that as I was nursing these beers, they were adding up in volume. And then my buddy Mike, the drummer of the band, came and he picked me up at my house, and we went to the bar for sound check because it was an early show. It was a Sunday show, mm-hmm. so it was all ages. And we needed to be there for 5:30. Excuse me. And then because 7 o'clock, the first band was going on, and we were on at 9. So I got to the bar, and like I told you off air, I swear to God, I was like fucking 15 beers in, and which is really out of my character because I really, really want to do well at shows. And as soon as I got to the bar, we were there probably about 2.5 hours or an hour and a half before we played. And I just started drinking the PBRs.
So good.
My body only handles the Coors Light.
So the PBR is quite, it's not a massive step up, but it is a little bit more than the Coors Light.
Every time I drink PBR, I like nearly shit the bed. I don't know why. It's just like it fucks with my system. And the time came and everyone came up to me and they're like, you got to play now. You have to play. So I'm like, okay, cool. And I went up there and I was setting up my gear and I put on my guitar and I'm like, this is going to be fucking great. And within the first like 10 minutes of the show, I got my like arms wrapped up in my guitar strap, and I like, you when you run yourself into the ground, like I ran myself into the ground, but on the stage. And here's a little advice for you kids out there who want to be in a rock and roll band or a punk band. If you're on stage and I'm sorry, but if you have the terrible event of where you're gonna fall down, put your hands out.
Let go of the guitar.
I didn't do that. I was like protecting my guitar, and I hit the stage. I ran myself on the ground face first. I literally landed on my face, and the whole crowd was like, everyone was like, yeah. And then it was like silent. Everyone was like, oh. And apparently I laid there and stared at the ceiling, just in my own world, my face. And I got up and I finished the show, but apparently it went like shit.
At least you didn't knock out any teeth though.
No, my teeth are good. Yeah,
you're fine.
I have big Japanese lips, so it was like some sort of cushioning.
And I didn't notice when I walked in to say like, oh God, what'd you do to your lips?
No, you can kind of see there's
now that you've like pointed it out.
Yeah, I don't know if that's a scab or whatever, but I was bleeding all over the place. And
what's a punk rock show without blood?
I know, that's what my friends were saying. It was like super punk rock show. And I was like, no, I wanted to play better. Not only did I want to play better, I wanted to at least remember playing because I don't remember a fucking thing.
Well, we were talking to off mic about how, like, when I was in my 20s, there's no way that I could drink the way I drink now. Not at all. And, like, it's also another reason why my anxiety gets to be the way it is because I'll drink at night, I'll have a night, right? Like the Saturday night, like I don't really remember coming home, like ridiculous. So, and as like a 39-year-old female, I should probably be a little bit more, I don't know, I shouldn't be doing that, but it's fine. I had a good time. Mm-hmm. So anyway, so get up Sunday morning and I'm like, all of a sudden I'm like, oh my God, like what did I do last night? I don't really remember getting home.
Like blackout.
Yeah, and then the scariest part is like, oh fuck, I'm just going to go have a Caesar and everything will be fine. And then all of a sudden I have a Caesar and everything has gone away. And I'm like, that is also really bad that now all of my anxiety is gone.
Yeah.
I may need to have to admit to something.
Caesars are like breakfast. Oh, they're so good, right?
So good.
I know. So, yeah. So to all the fans that came out to see the Goat Show, because it was actually pretty full last night.
Sweet.
You know, I'm sorry that you saw the horrific thing of me smashing my face. And I'm sorry that I don't remember how to play guitar, but fuck off.
You'll be fine.
I do a lot for this community. It was God one time. Damn it. Yeah, I know.
It was one time.
Yeah, I called, I texted my friend Steph this morning and I'm like, because I woke up and I'm like, oh yeah, I don't remember anything. But the first thing I texted her, I was like, did I do anything stupid last night? And she wrote, she sent me like this little emoji, like the teeth, like, I'm like, oh no. And she's like, I'll tell you later. And I'm like, tell me now. Yeah. I can't stand it.
I need to know.
Yeah. And she's like, you might want to talk to Sarah. And Sarah's the guitar player in the band. And I'm like, why? What did I do? But Sarah just was just like, fuck, you know. That was only her second show back in the band in like over a year and stuff. And so I apologized to everybody. And apparently it went well. I talked to my buddy Jesse and my friend Anderson. And they're like, it was rad. It was so much fun. I didn't even realize. I called Christina Casper from Chord Productions,
mm-hmm.
who books a lot of shows for us because she's more of like a metal booker and like we're kind of her go-to with punk. And I said, I'm so sorry. She's like, I didn't even realize you were drunk.
See,
you guys were sloppy as fuck.
Yeah,
but it's awesome, man. You guys did great. I'm like, okay, cool.
It's also a punk show. Like I can remember going, I can remember going to, like, I'm a huge NoFX fan, and I can remember going to Warped Tour in like the late 90s in Montreal. And we would go to Warped Tour every summer. And that was when it was like NoFX, Face to Face, Pennywise, like whatever.
Yep.
So we go this one year. And I think I had just moved home from Florida. So we go and we do mushrooms and we're like in the mosh pit. And my best friend and I are like, okay, we won't let go of each other. So you like interlock your arms. So like you're holding, like I'd be holding onto your forearm. You'd be holding onto my forearm. And we do it with both arms. We like don't let go. So we're going into this mosh pit.
Yeah.
So we're going into the mosh pit and we've told each other we're not letting go, and all of a sudden she gets kicked in the face, and I think it was like NoFX is like mosh pit, and she gets kicked in the face, and she looks at me, she's like, am I bleeding? And it was kind of like your situation, like big fat lip, like blood everywhere. And instead of me like backing up and pulling her out, I let go and I go, oh my God. And I like grab my face like, oh my God, you're bleeding. And then she just gets sucked like right into the
crowd.
And I'm like, no, like you're trying to like get your friend back out. And we happened to be with my friend's younger brother, who was a ginormous man, Jordan. He was like 6'4". So I'm like, I run up, Jordan, I lost Christy. And he's like, get on my shoulder. So he like literally picks me up on the shoulders and we're like scanning the crowd.
We
and
found her 3 days later. Yeah. One shoe.
No, I found her on the side that some girl had pulled her out. So Jordan's like fighting through the crowd. And we get to her. She's like, you let go of my arm.
Oh, no.
I'm like, I know.
Yeah,
oh,
wolves.
Yeah. And I found like I have another Warped Tour story with this guy I was dating. And we had to cut his hair before he went. So I cut his hair. And it's with one of those like, you know, your own. Like we're just shaving his head.
Yeah.
But the clip slipped. And I literally shaved his head like almost bald. So it kind of looked like he might have been like a white supremacist.
Oh,
like,
it was a little, you know.
So anyway.
Shit happens.
Yeah. So we go to Montreal and I guess there were some people that didn't like his quote unquote look.
Mm-hmm.
And I found him in the middle of the mosh pit without pants on or
they
shirt.
They stole his pants?
They stole his pants. They stole his shirt.
Shit.
And he had his shitty boxers on and his nuts were hanging out on the fucking ground. And I'm like, dude, what are you doing? He's like, they beat me up. So we like literally had to pick him up out of the crowd, bring him into the beer tent. And he had ingested something that he probably shouldn't have. I don't know, because he was super messed up. And then the people who stole his clothes were sitting across from him at the table with his pants and his shirt tied around them, like just mocking him. And I'm like, we should probably go. I'm like, maybe we should go buy some of these weird pants over here. I don't know.
Note to again.
Yep.
To all the kids out there.
Mm-hmm.
Do not expose your dink bag.
No.
To a crowd of angry moshing Warped Tour people.
I don't have a dink bag, but I would think that that would be very risky.
Right.
Yeah.
The first time I ever did cocaine was with a friend that we know.
Oh yeah.
Who used to work at a bar called, which rhymes with. And I remember I was like literally like 39 years old, and I'm like, hey dude, I want to do cocaine tonight. And he's like, what? Because I've always been a drinker. Like,
right.
I don't do a lot of drugs, but I said, I want to do cocaine tonight. I was going through some shit. And he's like, okay. And he went down and met some people and brought it
he
up.
He did the thing.
Yeah.
He went and talked to a man about a horse.
Yeah. And then we did a whole bunch of cocaine, and I was like really, really happy. But it's like weird.
Until the next day.
I had a buddy that was like 26 years old when I was younger, and he started smoking at like 26 years old. He was always like a fitness guy. He's like, oh, I go to the gym and I work out. And he's like, but now I'm going to start smoking. I'm like, who starts smoking at 26 years old? But then I guess you could look at it this way. It's like, who fucking decides at 39 years old to start cocaine? Yeah, so it's been wonderful though.
It's the smoking of the coke that is like, because I can remember I had friends who would do that too, and so they would smoke it like however they would do it, like they'd roll it in their cigarettes or whatever.
Isn't
so
that
like,
crack?
No, it's different. it's different because it's not rock form, it's still powder. Anyway, okay. I know too much about this. So they would they would like smoke these like cigarettes, these laced cigarettes, and then run up and down the stairs.
That's like the Cocoa Puff.
So they do the Cocoa Puffs, and they'd run up and down the stairs and then sit down and like literally like get naked and be like, oh God, it's so hot. Oh God. And I'm like, guys, put your fucking pants on. Like, what do you, this seems like a lot of work. Like, I don't understand why we're doing this right now.
I was downtown with a friend of mine one time, and I went to, which is the secret name for this bar.
Yeah.
And I went and saw our mutual friend.
Right.
And I said, I want some Coke. And he's like, cool. And I got like a bunch, like I spent a ton of money. I got money off friends and shit. And I went back and I met them at some club because they were like visiting from Calgary.
Oh, okay.
I'm like, I'm your hookup. I got this shit.
Yeah, yeah. I'm cool, guys.
And during the course of the evening, I lost it.
Oh, the worst.
Yeah, I lost it. I'm like, I was checking my pockets. I was checking my like butt crack. I'm like, where the fuck could it be? So I ended up having to go back to the bar and talk to the same mutual friend. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, I need more. He's like, what? He's like, I sold you like all of it. I'm like, no, I need more. So he's like, I think they went home. I'm like, more. So I got like more, but I actually went back into the club, and I had like my flashlight on the phone, and I'm like walking around, like just searching on the floor, hoping to find this like this little thing. But I got more, and then I didn't sleep for 2 days. So it was fucking rad though. It was so much fun. But I try not to do that on a daily basis, just once in a while. It's like a special occasion because I'm, you know, I like the drink.
Yeah, but that's what those two things go hand in hand.
Oh man, it's always good time.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, I'm off that train though.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah.
That was like, I've definitely, yeah. It's the thing. I feel like you need to. Actually, no, I'm not going to tell you that you need to try it because that's terrible.
No, you need to try it at some point. If you're 39 years old, well, it's like, never too late, friends.
I already talked about how like Disney is the happiest place on earth because everybody is high.
Yeah.
That's the thing. Hopefully my mom doesn't listen to me, but she saw the pictures. So
no, she's so going to listen to this. Chelsea is a good, upstanding citizen. She's fine.
She knows that that's not the case.
And when you get to Disney, get high on cocaine and kick Goofy in his dink bag. Anyway, we're going to take a break. We're going to play another song, and we're going to come back and wrap this motherfucker up. This is Ego and Vice, episode 51.
I guess the tape is rolling.
Well, the doctor came calling. He said, Tom, let me in. You're long overdue for an examining. You're pale and you're sickly. An ugly as sin. I pulled up a chair and I poured him a gin, and I said, liquor's my lover and I want it that way. I don't want no other, there's no woman for me. Yeah, liquor's my lover, all my women have depart, and it may harm my liver, but it will break my heart. Yeah! Tom, that old doctor. said, you better stop drinking, you need a clear head. Happy is dying, the other half's dead. You better find a good woman, cause you're drinking to death. And I said, liquor's my lover, and I want it that way. I don't want no other, there's no woman for me. Yeah, liquor's my lover, all my women have depart. And it may harm my liver, but it won't break my heart. Yeah! So I went to a preacher, and I told him I'd sinned. Cause the day that she left me, well, I hit the gin. He said the old bottle would soon do me in, but I'm getting used to the shape that I'm in, because liquor's my lover, and I want it that way. I don't want no other, there's no woman for me. Yeah, liquor's my lover, all my women have depart, and it may harm my liver, but it won't break my heart. Yeah! Well, I should have listened to their good advice, cause I kept on drinking and I died that night. St. Peter stepped forward when I rang his bell. He said, slow Tom, there's no liquor in heaven. So I went straight to liquor. Liquor is my lover and I want it that way. I don't want no other, there's no woman for me. Yeah, liquor is my lover.
So we're back. We, me and Chelsea have had probably the best fucking conversation off air.
Off the mic.
Yeah, off the mic than we have on this podcast. But some of the stuff that we were talking about, we can't share.
No.
It's like a personal thing.
Mm-hmm.
So fucking go fuck yourself. Yeah. But enjoy the podcast of what it was. So Chelsea.
Yes.
You old cock.
Yeah.
What is, what's ahead for you? What are you going to do?
So we're going to continue to do this radio show thing. And, yeah, I don't know. That's really it. Just going to do radio. We're actually being, I don't know if everybody knows this yet. I guess it is public knowledge, but we're being bought out by
885 is,
NewCap is.
Oh, NewCap. Okay.
Yeah. So we're going to be becoming Stingray Radio.
Mm-hmm.
So Stingray is a Montreal based company that is a digital music site that does, you know, like on your cable. Like if you want to go and listen to like smooth jazz or whatever, it's all like brought to you by like,
I do love myself some
exactly.
smooth jazz.
So it's brought to you by Stingray. So looking down the line and looking at the future, we are hoping that this is going to make us a little bit more accessible to people that maybe aren't in Ottawa. So like you can tune in and like, it'd be like, oh, Chelsea's like 90s show is on fucking Sirius, or not Sirius, but like Stingray, and you can get it there.
So how is that going to affect the actual like regular like broadcast of 88.5?
It's
like,
actually going to not affect us at all.
Okay.
Because this
like,
is a different...
What's the format going to be? Is it going to be like...
Oh, it's the same. It's just that we have a new company. So we have a new... What is going to happen is that we're just going to become part of this new digital company that wants to be competitive with like the Apples and the Google Musics of the world.
Okay.
They don't know anything about radio. We do. So they're like, you guys are cool. You guys stay there. And then we got this digital thing and like, we're going to meet together and then we're going to chill. It's going to be great.
Nice.
So we're just like waiting for, yeah, like we've been talking about it. It's been in the radio. It's been in the news and people have posted it online. So I feel like I'm not giving away any secrets. So,
okay.
Well, yeah.
There you have it. Yep. First hand by fucking Miller.
I guess so, yeah.
Yeah, she's going to get fired tomorrow.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah, it's rude. Cause, but the beauty of this is that she can say anything because nobody's fucking listening anyway. So
everyone's listening.
Who gives a fuck? All right, so we should really wrap this up because we're into an hour minus the music and the intro.
Oh, God, this is a long time.
Yeah, that's pretty good, though.
That's great.
We did well.
Yeah.
You should totally come back and sit in whenever you want. And
I
we
will.
Can just shoot the shit.
Absolutely.
And hopefully some of the stuff we talked about off mic,
yeah.
Enough time has passed, then we can do it again, right?
We could actually bring it up.
Yeah, because that's because that is good radio.
That is
friend.
Good radio.
That's good radio. I am doing my best to help out the local music scene. I'm doing the best to help out the local entrepreneur scene.
Mm-hmm.
Some, like I said, season two is more about everything Ottawa, local businesses, that kind of stuff. But it has been a fucking pleasure, yo.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah.
I appreciate it.
We always have a good time.
Yeah, we always do.
Cool.
Yep.
Do you want to give like a shout out or some links or anything to anybody? You want to say what's up, boyfriend?
What's up, my boyfriend? You can always come and make sure you listen to me if you want. You can do it through our Live at 8.5 app. We have this app thing that's very easy to listen to. And I'm on 9 a.m. to 2, and I have a 90s show from 2 to 6 on Sundays. Live885.com.
Live885. I used to work for Live885. Remember when I used to do the open mic at the the Live Lounge?
What did we call it? The frying pan?
The electric frying pan. Yeah. I used to get the shit list. I used to
We never even talked about the Live Lounge and how much we loved it. We don't have time. We have to do it another time.
Next time. Yeah. You'll be on again, right?
Yeah, I'll come back.
Okay, cool.
Cool.
So as for... Chelsea Miller,
mm-hmm.
as for not Ohio Jones anymore,
no.
but as for myself, my name is Mike. If you want to get a hold of me, you can always send me an email at egoandvice@gmail.com. If you want to listen to the podcast, you can go to egoandvice.com. The actual site is shut down for maintenance. That means I can't pay my bill.
Ah.
Yeah. You can hear the podcasts at iTunes, Google Play, Podomatic, Facebook, anywhere you want to listen to like fun podcasts. Not saying this one's super fun. Just type in Ego and Vice and you should be able to find me. So, Chelsea, thank you so much.
Thank you for having me.
It's always a blast, dude.
Yeah, I'll be back.
Cool.
It'll be good.
All right. This is episode 51. This is Ego and Vice. We'll see you next week.
You've got a real attitude problem, McFly. You're a slacker.